morning and welcome. Are there any first-time visitors this morning? I don't see any, but let's just take a minute to welcome the ones around us and tell everybody hello. See that Mr. Frank Ball's back, so we'd like to welcome him. He's been going through some medical issues, so welcome back. Are there any announcements this morning?
Miss Duncan's father, Mr. Douglas.
Okay. Welcome. Are there any announcements?
Next Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, if you have any interest in being a leader, or if you already are a leader, you might come and share your leadership abilities with some other people. Next Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, right here in this sanctuary, there'll be somebody else to come and talk to us about leadership. And I've got a few posters to kind of put at the back, and we would like to urge you, invite you, etc., to come and share in a presbyterial experience. They says 11 to 2, but they promise it'll be about from 11 to 12. Okay. Thank you.
Also, the 8th next Saturday, right before that, 10 o'clock, rain or shine, invite all your friends, neighbors, children, grandchildren.
Okay.
And I think we need donations. It's a little bit late notice, so I don't think they have anything collected, but if you can get anything to the church anytime before Saturday, that would be awesome.
Are there any others? So we had spa day yesterday, and it went really well. So on behalf of the youth, I'd like to thank everybody for the support. I didn't really know what was going on. I was glad Miss Pam was there to do it, because all that stuff really confused me. But are there any other announcements?
Miss, thank you. I think Miss Madeline got new eyes. One eye goes up this way, and some people kind of depressed her. One of her Facebook friends kind of depressed her, I think, did she not? This was very good. After she did it, she was in the dust in her house. So. I don't think Beverly had any dust, so okay.
Are there any prayer requests this morning or praise reports?
Thank you.
Yeah, Anna, my friend Anna from the Renaissance, she passed away. I think it was it Thursday? Thursday, she passed away. There's a funeral at Bethel tomorrow. But just prayer for her family. It is a really neat story, actually, because I don't know. I guess I haven't had too much experience with being in the hospital and stuff like that, but I know that my experience is the doctors have stayed away from the religion part, and all the doctors were praying with her and her family every day, and it was just a positive story, but continue to pray for her and her family. Are there any others? Any others? Do you have an announcement? One more announcement. Under the Wednesday night prayer list, if you look next to Anna Pirtle's name, there is an address for a kind of like a memorial fund to help with the expenses of the family staying in Texas for a week. People on Wednesday nights had asked about that information, so it's there. Are there any others? If not, let's take this time for a silent prayer and the lighting of the candles. Please stand with me and join with me in the call to worship this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from trouble, gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south.
Some wandered in the desert waste, finding no way to a city in which to dwell.
Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them.
Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress.
And led them by a straight way, till they reached the city in which to dwell.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
For the Lord satisfies those who are thirsty, and fills the hungry with good things.
Turn to hymn number 306.
Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to save us. Save us from sin and save us from Satan. Save us from an eternity of being separated from you and all that is good and holy and righteous. Thank you for saving us unto heaven, Lord. And thank you that Jesus came to give his life to save us. And Lord, we thank you that he came back to your presence to prepare a heavenly place for us. Lord, we would still be wandering in darkness without him. But you have redeemed us. Thank you. Praise be unto you. And help us, Lord, to be bold in proclaiming that we are your redeemed people, not of our own efforts, but because of your love to us, your mercy and your grace. Lord, bless us in this hour, that your name truly will be glorified. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
It is now the time in the service to make our statement of faith by using the Apostles' Creed. It can be found either on the screen or in your hymnal at number 716. If you join with me, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning comes from Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you join with me in the prayer of confession, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Friends, hear these words of assurance. We thank you, O God, for the good news that we may approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Singing Be Still My Soul, 347. Let's do verses 1 and 2.
Sentence this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that He has given you. Will the ushers please come forward?
that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me.
It's me.
It's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer.
It's me.
It's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer.
Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord.
Standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Gonna lay down my burden.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna lay down my burden.
Down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Study war no. Study war no more. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Look away beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me.
Hallelujah!
Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh, do remember me. Look away beyond the blue. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Bible preaching, faith believing, all night singing, church believing, glory, hallelujah, meeting. Give me that old time religion.
Our scripture lesson this morning is going to be read by Chelsea.
Today's scripture comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks to Jerry and Julie. I got a preview of their singing Friday night. I dropped by and
they blessed me real good, and you were blessed this morning, I trust. Thank you very much. I want to think about this morning the value of heaven. And I still see that we're not just right. There seems to be
an echo. Is this a little better, maybe? Okay, and I'll try to stay behind here. Thank you. We're working on this and got people experimenting and looking into and evaluating the value of heaven. Or do you see any value of heaven? Or how valuable is heaven to you? Disorganized sometime, I brought a songbook to the pulpit rather than the Bible, then turned the Bible upside down. But I did want to quote from one hymn. A home prepared for and waiting for us in heaven. How much value do you place on that? Is it of value? Or how valuable is it? Another way to say it. How valuable is knowing that there's a place waiting for you in heaven? Let's talk about it. Or let's think about it. If you really want to talk back and forth, raise your hand and we'll think about it. My home in heaven is a free gift. Your home in heaven is a free gift. I did not earn my spot in heaven, and I certainly do not deserve a spot in heaven. Be it Main Street or just a little cabin in the corner. Whatever it is, I'm willing to leave it all up to God the Father and Jesus. And if St. Peter is keeping the gate, maybe he can point me to it. And the Bible says that he has the keys to the gate of heaven. My spot in heaven. It's a gift, a free gift. A gift's got to be free to be a gift, has it not? God offered to me as a gift heaven when Jesus had fully paid for it. Yes, Jesus paid for my place in heaven when he died on the cross, Calvary. We're about a week and 5 days from celebrating that, I believe. About the second day of April. That's Good Friday. Here we are at the 21st day of March. So we're approaching that time of the year. Jesus suffered. Jesus bled. And he died. He did it to pay for my sin as well as yours, sin that will keep us out of heaven. But sin could not hold Jesus. After he had paid the penalty of our sin and had been placed in the tomb, he overcame death and the grave and rose to new life. Life eternal, or life everlasting. God raised him up. So through Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, my sins are paid for. And my trusting Jesus, another way to put it, my believing in Jesus and his sacrifice on my behalf, through that I am saved. My part in receiving or obtaining heaven, or you can refer to it as eternal life, my part in obtaining life eternal in the presence of God was just to receive it. That's all I could do. It's all I could do. Just receive it. It's all that I needed to do, according to the Bible. I wrote a statement concerning this. All I could do is just reach out and take it. But maybe even reaching out is putting too much emphasis on my part in claiming or receiving the gift of eternal life. And I've talked about my spot in heaven. I kind of referred to yours, but think about it. It's for you too. The same for me goes for you. If you have not claimed the gift of heaven for yourself, it's available. And today is a good time to claim it. We don't know if we will make it till next Sunday. We don't know if we will make it to Wednesday. Today is the day of salvation. Just think about it. Let me ask you, which of you or who of you need to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord and claim his gift of eternity in heaven, eternal life in heaven? Fully paid for a gift, paid for by Jesus himself. Now, what about the value of something that's free? What about the value of heaven? I was driving up and down the road. You can see a lot of tire marks on the road. That's either, I often try to figure it out, how did they get the tire marks on the road that look like that? Some of them look like they may have been on a vehicle where they applied the brakes real hard and slid and left tire marks. And some of them you can almost tell that they tried to spin out and leave rubber. Lay rubber, we used to call it. Is that what we still call it? Teenagers, do y'all lay rubber? That Camaro, will it do it? Daddy knows how it will, I can believe. From way back there. I'm just guessing now. Don't want to get the boys in trouble. Okay. But we were all there, and we tried to do that. And we often say, when they, talk about those boys, our girls, when they start paying for those tires, they won't spin out like that. Mr. Dornan, do you think of that, or do your boys spin out? We never did do it where our parents could see us, though, right? We'd get around the corner or down the street. And it was the thought going here, if it didn't cost us anything, it wasn't of much value to us. But one day, when the tires started costing and the motors and whatever else went, we would appreciate and we'd drive with more care. Well, I think of this in relationship to the cost of heaven, and if it's free, how much value do we place on it? Well, it's so valuable. I thought of that bicycle and some of these things going back in life. Old people go back in life and remember those things that happened years ago, right? And last Sunday, I went back to so many years ago. I went back to the 60s, and even I went back to the 50s this year to that bicycle I got. It was a Christmas gift. It was a free gift. The only bad part about it, I was a boy, and it was a girl's bicycle. That marked me for the rest of my life. I've kind of been one of some things that you're not real proud of. I was proud to have a bicycle. But that bicycle, though it was a girl's bicycle, I had a younger sister, and they wanted her to be able to ride it also. Or, that was a cheap one they found, and it was cheaper. I don't know, but I got the bicycle anyway. And they told me it was so my sister could ride it too. But anyhow, it was valuable to me. And I rode it, and I rode it, and I rode it. I don't think I ever stood up on the seat. Any of you try that one? And then stood up straight. Bill, did you not do that? Did you try to stand up on the seat of the bicycle and you just coasting down the hill? Well, you brought that up, okay, you know. But it was a valuable piece of equipment in my life. I rode it and rode it and rode it and go around it. We had a circle driveway, and I would just go around and around and around and around. It was like, look, Mom, no hands. Look, Mom, no feet. Look, Mom, no teeth, okay? No, I never lost the teeth. But I did try to ride without hands and then without feet. Without feet on the pedals. It was valuable, though it was free. Our place in heaven is free, but it certainly costs God something. It's free to us, but it was not free from God's side. It cost God. It cost God watching His Son suffer. Watching His Son, Jesus, being persecuted. Watching His Son die at the hands of evil people. And I've been beside people when a loved one is dying. And I think of Anna's family as they waited in the hospital in a strange town. And they kept getting word, well, maybe she's a little better. And then, no, she's worse. And then she died. God watched His Son be nailed to a cross. And it cost Jesus our salvation, our place in heaven. It cost Jesus. It cost Him suffering. It cost Him His life. Then we find in our scripture lesson today the Apostle Paul telling us how valuable heaven was in his thinking and in his life. That's what I see this scripture lesson being about. And it was very valuable to him. Paul had and I couldn't think of a better word and didn't search much further, but I used the word pedigree. Paul had a pedigree of the highest order. A pedigree of the highest order. And you can find what his pedigree was in verse 5 and 6 of our lesson. We didn't read that. We didn't read that. I'm sorry. You go back and read verse 5 and 6, and I'm going to read it to you. Circumcised on the eighth day, the mark of God's people upon him, of the stock of Israel, a descendant of Abraham. That's a sure way to be right with God in some people's thinking back there. Of the tribe of Benjamin, wasn't Benjamin the baby boy Rachel's child? A Hebrew of the Hebrews, or if you want to use the word Jew, a Jew of Jews. Top notch he was. Way up there. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, oh, he was zealous. He was a go-getter, if you will. He was a zealous one. A real go-getter. Touching the righteousness which is by the law, he was blameless. In other words, he had kept the law down to the smallest dot, iota. He was a good fella. He was a righteous one. And I bet you he looked at other people and said, "Boys, you're not doing what you ought to do. You need to straighten up your life." I can see him now, almost a little wiry fella calling other people to attention about their sinfulness. You need to straighten up now. Blameless. But then in verse 7, he says, "The things that were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Whatever was to my profit," another version says, I believe that's the NIV that we printed, "whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish." And Barclay says, when you're talking about rubbish, the Greek word for this, talking about things that you would throw to the dogs. Things that you would throw to the dogs. And in Jewish society, dogs were not thought very much of. I remember growing up, again, am I going back too much? We ate what we wanted to eat, and the dogs got the leftovers. We'd even make special bread sometime out of not such good meal to feed to the dogs. I consider them rubbish. All of his qualifications, all of the things on his super resume. If we got a resume from Paul and looked at it, while he was a Jew, my goodness. We said, he's a good one. He's a keeper. Some mother would say, boy, I hope my daughter can attract him. Or something of that nature. But he considered all of this rubbish that he may gain Christ and be found in him. Fanny Crosby wrote a song concerning this. It's number 443 in your hymnal. We won't sing it, but it's Give Me Jesus. Give Me Jesus. She says, take the world, but give me Jesus. Yeah, take the world, but give me Jesus. That's basically what Paul was saying. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth forever through eternal years to come. See, all of this stuff that we have in this life is only going to be here probably not over 80 or maybe 90 years. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching over me, I can sing though billows roll. Take the world, but give me Jesus. His cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord, I see. Paul considered heaven worth everything that he had been. Fanny Crosby considered heaven greater than anything in the world. This was not the case of the rich young ruler that we find in Luke chapter 18. He did not see any value in trusting Jesus. He did not see any value in putting his life in the hands of Jesus. He valued his goods more. But when he died, he left all of his riches behind. But in the 19th chapter of Luke, we find a man named Zacchaeus. Pretty wealthy, rather wealthy. A tax collector, a great job. Wasn't very popular in the community. But when he met Jesus, he saw the value of him. And he gave his life to Jesus. And he returned to those that he had extorted too many taxes or too much taxes from. Because they meant no more to him. Paul. The Apostle Paul saw gaining Christ Jesus as being of greatest importance. And he passed that on to us, trying to set an example for us and try to say, folks, it's the greatest thing that can happen. He referred to gaining Christ as surpassing greatness. So the question I pose, is knowing Jesus, is being saved from sin and the penalties that come with sin, is having a home reserved in heaven, is that of much value to us? Is it as much value to us as it was to Paul? Is that of surpassing greatness, surpassing all other important things in your life? What is important to us? An eternity with God. Or having fun now. Paul was careful to point out that his righteousness or his relationship with Jesus was not of his own doing. He was careful to point out that it all came from God by faith. Faith in Jesus. Philippians 3:9b and 10. Having not a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Then he goes on to say, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to have the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Paul was even willing to go to the point of suffering, and he did have to suffer. And then we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. He had wrote to the Ephesian Christians about his salvation. It's not of my own doings, he says. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then I went back last night and just read a portion of Romans chapter 5. What he wrote to the Romans about salvation being a gift from God. And then Paul, though he had a home in heaven, he was assured of that. He had received it by faith as a free gift. He put so much value on it. But the Apostle Paul kept pressing on for more of Jesus. Like Fanny Crosby, she wanted Jesus and to be close to Him. So, saved. Saved. Heaven bound. Knowing Jesus as your Savior. Jesus asked a sobering question, or I find it sobering concerning this. You'll find the question in the 16th chapter of Matthew. The 16th chapter of Matthew. You'll find the same phrase, the same words in Mark chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. I think it's concerning. It speaks concerning the value of a place in heaven. Jesus asks, "What do you have if you gain the whole world and lose your soul?" And there's no answer given in these passages. Same question in all three Gospels. Three different stories, three different writers about the life and the work and the words of Jesus. What do you have if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? And there's no answer given, but it's pretty obvious what you have. And you have nothing of value if you lose your soul. You have nothing of value. Nothing that is lasting. Nothing for eternity if you lose your soul. Even owning the whole world, wouldn't that be something? We think if we own the whole world. It was all promised to Jesus, you remember, by Satan. And Jesus says, forget that. Even owning the whole world is not as important as knowing Jesus as the Savior of our soul. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Jesus saving us through His work on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the faith to believe, to trust, to depend upon. And Lord, if there be one here, you so move in their heart today, if they do not know you, are not trusting you, that they can say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Save me. Amen and amen. The song is number 210, Jesus Paid It All. I'd like us to sing 1 and 3. Would you stand together? And maybe your response would be a public one. It don't have to be. Salvation is between you and Jesus. But if you would like to make it public, express it. Tell.